Welcome to today's session. This is Dr. Ruth, Jesus is Lord. We continue with my verse-by-verse teaching out of the Gospel of Luke. We are in Luke chapter 15. It's a continuation of the teaching in this chapter. Hopefully, you have listened to the previous sessions because today we are going to wrap up Luke chapter 15. It has been loaded with phenomenal teaching from the Lord Jesus in parables. So please, after today's session, go back and listen to the previous two sessions, or better yet, listen to everything in the Gospel of Luke, Mark, and Matthew, so you can approach the Lord Jesus' ministry in context, getting the best from it. But just a quick recap, if you have not listened to the previous sessions, in this chapter, Luke 15, we discussed earlier about the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And the key take-home message there was God's love and compassion for the lost. God's desire for none to perish, but for all to have eternal life through Christ Jesus. We talked about that. And then in the last session, I started the teaching of the parable of the lost son. If you recall, if you have listened to the previous session, you remember that in this parable, the father represented God the Father. Okay, and the father in this parable had two sons, the younger son and the older son. And the younger son had approached his father in a rebellious attitude and demanded for the estate to be divided, and he took his part and went and squandered it. So that younger son is popularly called the prodigal son. We talked about that. And from the story, the Lord Jesus taught us from the younger son, who realized his mistake, and in true repentance, he came back home to the father. And in the parable, the father was very pleased and rejoicing, which highlights how God the Father rejoices when we truthfully repent. We talked about all of that. So the second son in this story is the older brother. So we are going to pick it up here in Luke 15, verse 25. And we will now talk about the older brother's attitude. And that would really highlight self-righteousness, or a Christian who is self-righteous, depending on works to win God's favor. And obviously in this parable, if you also recall, the Lord Jesus was speaking directly to the crowd, and the crowd had the tax collectors and some sinners and some Pharisees and teachers of the law. Okay, if you recall this at the very beginning of this chapter. So this second son's attitude would be representative of the Pharisees. And as I mentioned earlier, in the here and now, it would represent a Christian who is self-righteous, who is desiring to gain God's favor by their own works. And it does not work that way. Whatever we receive from God the Father is because of his love and compassion, because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and because of God's grace, and by faith we receive. So we are going to get into these verses here. But before I get there, I want to tell you about today's book offer, which we are recommending that you purchase from us directly if you live in the continental USA. It is a book I wrote a few years ago. It is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. This book has its own website, areyoumovingforward.com. It is safe and secure. This book's website is encased within our safe and secure website, which is drruthtani.org, and then you do /donate. For a donation of $33 or more, we will ship this book to you. It is a phenomenal Bible teaching book on how to grow in your relationship with the triune God and how to excel through the power of the Holy Spirit. This book will transform your life. We ask that you bless us with a donation of $33. We will ship it to you. Again, our safe and secure website, drruthtani.org. We are also on Cash App. It's the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. That is the address on Cash App. And then if you live in the continental USA, we receive donations through Zelle. That Zelle telephone number is 909-501-9031. And we will have this also in the description box, or visit our website or this book's website, aremovingforward.com, and it will also link you to the bookstore where you can order this book today. So we thank you in advance for this donation of $33 into this ministry, so we can put it right back into this podcast and pay for studio time. But if you live overseas, please get this book from Amazon, because we do not ship overseas. That book will help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord and to receive from him because of his grace. Okay, so we get into these verses proper. Luke 15 verse 25. Again, as I mentioned, the Lord Jesus continued in this parable. And if you are not aware, a parable is just using a simple story or an illustration to highlight a spiritual and a moral lesson. Okay, again, as I mentioned, the Lord Jesus is teaching in a crowd with Pharisees and tax collectors and teachers of the law of Moses. So we begin here in verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. So apparently when the younger son, who came back and repented, came to the house, and the father kissed him and embraced him and was rejoicing, the older brother wasn't there. So now the older brother has returned. So let us find out his reaction. Verse 27. So the older brother had asked the servant, and here is the response. Verse 27, "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." Glory to God. So we see how this father in this story, as I mentioned, represents God the Father. God the Father is just rejoicing because this younger son was lost into the world, but now he had come to his senses and he had returned to the sheepfold. So God the Father is pleased. So now in verse 28, the older brother is going to react. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Friend, there is a powerful picture here, contrast of mannerisms or contrast of reaction about the younger son who was lost and came back home. Already we see the older brother very angry, okay, that the father was celebrating and rejoicing because the younger brother had come home. And then we see the father in this parable who came to the older brother pleading with him. Friend, that is powerful. What is the key message here right away? We see this older brother already angry because the father, i.e. God the Father, accepted a sinner who had repented. Bad attitude. Right away, as we will continue here, we will be learning how when a sinner repents, God is pleased. Likewise, we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to be pleased when a brother in Christ missed the mark, the scene, or when an unbeliever, whether it was a murderer, serial killer, it doesn't matter, when that unbeliever comes to the Lord, God is pleased. Likewise, we should be pleased. We see how in this parable, this boy's father is pleading with him to be happy. That's how God wants us to be joyful when people repent truthfully. Verse 29, "But he answered his father," this is the older brother, when the father had come to him to plead with him, "he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.'" Let me pause. Already we see this older son pointing to his good works, i.e. he was self-righteous Exactly. So he is telling his father that I have done all this for you. You've never rewarded me. So he is depending on his good works to receive rewards from his father. Friend, that is wrong. That is the message the Lord Jesus is teaching us here in the here and now. God doesn't bless us because we do ABC. That is called works. That behavior was under the old covenant. In this era that we are in right now, in the 21st century, because of the perfect blood of Jesus Christ, we receive God's blessings because of his grace, and by faith we appropriate those blessings. We don't do ABC before we expect God to bless us. In fact, the Bible teaches that all of the blessings of God through Christ Jesus are a resounding yes and amen. The blessings are already available on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. So our job is to realign our thinking, come in agreement with God's word, submit our will to the will of God the Father, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, and train ourselves to think of us as God thinks of us, blessed, anointed. And then you, by faith, you receive God's blessings. You position yourself to allow God's blessings to chase you. As an example, when the Bible says you give in obedience, you give, and then you trust God to bless you back. Are you getting this? So in this new covenant in the 21st century, we don't do ABC and then we fold our arms and say, God is going to bless me. That is works. God will not reward works. God will not honor your works, because Jesus Christ did it all on the cross. So you have to receive it by faith. Mm-hmm. And you act in your faith, position yourself, and then the blessings will be available to you, because they are already there and God is waiting on you to receive them by faith. Did you get that? So in this story, this older brother had a self-righteous attitude, just like the Pharisees, just like some people in the church today. So we should not have a self-righteous attitude, because we are only able to receive because of the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's move on. Yet, let me just reread the last sentence there in verse 29 before we move on to verse 30. So the older brother is speaking, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And something else is coming to mind. So we see how this older brother just was waiting, and all this while the blessings were available. Friend, don't wait for God's blessings. They are yours. Again, as I just explained, by faith receive them, because God has already graced them to you. Verse 30, the older son continues, but when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. So we see how this older brother was not even happy that his younger brother, who was lost, had repented and came home. Friend, we see this today in the church. There are people in church today, in the body of Christ collectively, because of the wrong self-righteous attitude, because they go to church every Sunday, because they serve God, they give their tithes, they just think that because of that, God placed them on a pedestal. God places all of us on a pedestal. He loves each of us, okay? Now, these self-righteous Christians in church, because they are doing all these good works, thinking that God owes them something, when they see a sinner come to church, somebody who have been gone, somebody who has not been serving the Lord, and they've gone astray, and then they see this sinner comes back and repented, and then just of a sudden they are excelling in the joy and the peace of the Lord, and doors are opening for them, the self-righteous Christians in the church are not happy. That is exactly what we are learning from this story. I'm sure you've already figured this out. Why would the self-righteous Christians in the church not happy? Because they are depending on their own good works to earn God's blessings. But that sinner who went astray, genuinely repented, came back, genuinely opened his or her heart to receive from God by grace, is experiencing God's blessings and favor. And then you, self-righteous Christian, you're angry. That is a bad attitude, friend. You know what the cure is? Repent of self-righteousness, especially as I have explained that everything we receive from God is because of His grace, and then by faith we appropriate it. Repent of that self-righteous attitude and just open your heart to receive God's blessings, because He loves you. The blessings are available, okay? So this older brother had a self-righteous attitude, just like the Pharisees, and just like many people in the church today. So now he is already complaining and not even happy for his brother. That is so sad. And you know the saddest thing in this story, before I go into the next verse, is that this story is about the love and compassion of God. It's about this father who had two sons. One was obviously lost, the prodigal son. But you know what the irony is? The older brother was also lost. Lost in self-righteousness, lost in religiosity. The younger brother who went astray, depending on his own self-will, went out there and on his own effort, he suffered, he hit rock bottom. He got to his senses, opened up his heart, repented, and started receiving the love and the joy of God. And God was pleased in this story. This older brother who was self-righteous could not receive God's love, could not receive God's compassion, could not receive joy that was available to him throughout. Why? Because of his self-righteous attitude, depending on his works. This is powerful. The love of God, the grace of God, the abundance, blessings of God is available to all those who believe in Jesus Christ, all those who have come into this covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our posture, our spiritual posture, is what will determine how we receive that. Again, if you're self-righteous, you're depending on your own works, you will quench the presence, the power, and the love of God in your life. If you have the attitude of, I love God, everything is available, my job is to submit to the teachings of God, my job is to act by faith and allow God to bless me, you will receive the blessings. You see that? So don't let your self-righteous attitude prevent you from receiving the love, blessings, and compassion of God, just as we are learning in this story about the older brother. Okay, we move on to verse 31. My son, this is the father speaking. And again, remember in this story, the father here represents God the Father. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Exactly what I was just saying. Today, God is saying to you, if you have a self-righteous attitude, if you're sitting crossing your leg and waiting and depending on the blessings of God to come to you because you have served God, because you have given to God's work, God is saying that, my son, the son here represents a male or a female, the Lord is saying, my child, all of my blessings are available to you. You have my blessings. Again, that scripture I quoted earlier, 2 Corinthians 1:20, teaches that all of God's promises through Christ Jesus are a resounding yes and amen. So stop waiting. Stop depending on God to bless you because of what you've done. Open your heart and receive them, okay? That is what the father in this story, which represents God the Father, is telling the son. Verse 32, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Glory to God. So the father in this story, which represents God the Father, is telling the self-righteous child that, hey, we had to celebrate, just like God is telling us today. When one person repents truthfully and come back to God, God and the angels in heaven celebrate. Likewise, God wants us to celebrate when a brother or sister in Christ fall into sin and then they come back and repent. Just as when an unbeliever, regardless of their past, recognizes their need for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then comes to true repentance, God is calling us to celebrate with Him and the angels in heaven. We should stop our self-righteous attitude. We should know that it is only because of the grace of God that we ourselves were able to repent and God accepts us. God's love is available for all those who truthfully repent. I hope that you've understood the essence of being joyful and celebrating when others miss the mark and they come right back to God. So this brings us to the end of Luke chapter 15. So what is the key principle and application from these last few verses here, beginning in Luke 15, verses 25, all the way to the end here, which is verse 32. Before I even get into the key principles and application, I want to remind you, please, to visit our website and get this book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? That is our offer for today. We thank you again for getting this book as a donation to this ministry. And this book has its own website, areyoumovingforward.com. Again, the book is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. If you live overseas, please get it from Amazon. But if you live in the USA, please get it from us and visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanya.org/donate. And again, we are also on Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanya. And then send in your donation through Zelle. The telephone number is 909-501-9031. And we will have this in the description box, and it is also available on our website. So thank you very much for getting this book from us as a donation to bless us to produce more programs. Thank you in advance. So going back here to the key principles and application in this story. Number one, the compassion of God, the love of God, God's desire for none to perish when true repentance is sought after. When people truthfully call upon God in true repentance, God honors that. That is the key principle here. And number two, the second key principle here is the great contrast that we learned between the father's reaction and the older son in this story. I mentioned how the father's response was so contrast, the father showed love and forgiveness to the younger brother and even pleaded with the older brother and explained to the older brother that him, the older brother, had access to everything that belonged to him. And then we talked about the older brother with the anger, self-righteous attitude, would not receive the love and compassion of God because he was depending on his own works. So the key application here is we are called, as I mentioned earlier, several scriptures teach this, and I want to bring one to your attention. Galatians chapter 6 teaches clearly that when we see a brother or a sister falls into sin, God has called us to gently help them back into truth, to gently help them back into true repentance, and to show love, compassion, and support and encouragement. We have to do that in humility, lest we ourselves fall. So we are called as children of God to support one another. We are called as children of God to be joyful when people repent, regardless of the depth of the sin. You see, because in God's eyes, sin is sin. It is us human beings who categorize the big sins and the little sins, but to God, sin is sin. So before we start to have a judgmental attitude like this older brother had here and have anger towards people who have repented of so-called big sins, we have to also know that if somebody was to evaluate our lives, we would have what we call little sins, like unforgiveness, wrong attitudes, not giving in accordance with God's word, not caring for the widows, not caring for the poor. You see, we cannot have that attitude. Sin is sin. So when somebody truthfully recognizes they've missed the mark and genuinely repent, God has called us to support them in love, to support them in encouragement, to provide the kind of support they need and the growth they need so they don't go back and fall into that sin. When we do that, we would be planting to people's lives. And then when we ourselves miss the mark, God will be certain that he brings people to help us. Did you get this? So the message here is love and support for one another. Have a gracious attitude and compassion for one another. That is true living in the kingdom of God. I hope you received today's lesson and just live and receive God's blessings by grace, because they are all available to you. So never be deceived that you must do ABC to receive God's blessings. They are available to you. I hope you can change your thinking and start knowing that God loves you so much that he wants you to just receive the blessings, but he asks you to act by faith, position yourself, open your arms to receive them. God loves you. I hope you received today's lesson in faith. So let us just thank God in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. I lift up all the listeners. We thank you for your compassion, for your love and your grace, and for your abundant blessings that are available to us by faith. Father, I thank you for all the listeners. I thank you that you're using this message to speak to each of their hearts. You know where each of them is. You are teaching them, Holy Spirit, how to position themselves to receive your grace and not to depend on their works to receive anything from you. Teach them. Give them more revelation that you love them as they are, but you're helping them to grow to become the best version of themselves. Father God, thank you that you are blessing them with deeper revelation about your grace, your love and compassion. I thank you for today. You go before them to protect them. May your joy and your peace anchor their souls today through Christ Jesus. I have prayed all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. Friend, listen to the announcer who will tell you more about our ministry. And we thank you in advance for donating into this ministry. And we know that God in his faithfulness will bless you back. Thank you. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.